Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
Whoa, John, what are you playing?
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. New York City overwhelmed with the migrants, presumably from the Mexican border. Tens of thousands. I learned from The City, an online journal I recommend, that there are 13,500 of these migrants who've now received 60-day notices over these last weeks. And the first of them are now in application. What this means is those adults without children are obliged to leave the shelters they've been in and find a new place to stay. That means going to Roosevelt Hotel, which is the command center for assigning shelter. However, there is said to be a transition underway to go from 60 days to 30 days. What this means is that the city is coming up with an answer to the overwhelming numbers and the demand for space and running out of space. But I welcome Harry Siegel, a senior editor at The City, also a columnist at the New York Daily News. Harry, the report here is that the first of the 60-day notice receivees are now seeking new shelter. This is an answer, but it doesn't exactly explain what the future is. We're going to have 13,500 adults without children, without a place to stay. How to interpret this, Harry? You're exiting one end of the problem, and you're entering the other end. Good evening to you.
Hey, good evening, John. That's a very useful way to interpret it. And we're getting some clarity in the course, belatedly, of these 60-day notices. That of the more than 60,000 migrants staying in shelters, that the number of adults here without children is something like 13,500. Those people have all received 60-day notices. The first of those have come due. At the end of those, they have to leave and reapply for shelter. The idea is to start pushing people out. It's now going to be 30 days for newly arrived migrants coming into the system in the first place and for those who reapply and get back in. All this, obviously, to try to turn those rooms over rather than have a deal where you could come up here and work and not pay rent for quite a while and have that flow. However, for the remaining 47,000 or so people who are here in family units, there still is no time limit. And for all of these people, there's the question about whether putting any time limit on violates New York City's unique right to shelter, which comes out of a series of court consent decrees starting in the early 1980s, and explicitly say that anyone who asks is supposed to receive access to shelter right away and without a time limit on that access. The city's fighting that in court. In a separate case, not the one the city's brought, a Staten Island judge has said that this right to shelter is outdated and anachronistic given the circumstances and shouldn't apply. But that decision was stayed immediately, which related to one shelter at Staten Island, pending an appeal. So there's great uncertainty now about what can happen. But clearly, what the city is trying to do is to discourage more people from coming in this very indefinite and uncertain circumstance where it's the city's just managed to find enough spaces to house everyone to this point, but doesn't know how many more everyone's are coming. And thus, like in many places in the world, what it's dealing with and under what time frame. And of course, there's great political uncertainty in Washington, at least through this coming election, that makes that even harder to map.
I mentioned that the city has published the statistic given out by the city, by New York City, as of a week ago, estimating 2,500 new migrants arriving every week, 2,500. We go to another story that presses upon New York City. Harris reported on this over the years in his New York Daily News column. This is deaths behind bars. The city right now is showing the statistic of 19 detained individuals, not convicted, individuals, died behind bars in 2022. 8 so far this year. I get lost now, but I want to be careful. At some point, the people in charge of corrections, the Department of Corrections, the Board of Corrections, are claiming that they no longer have to notify the media about a death, meaning no explanation is offered to the families or to the public. Harry, I got lost. I might have said all that correctly. Is it they no longer want to tell you or tell the families as well?
So the Department of Correction no longer wants to make public deaths in custody at all. They say they will answer questions about those, but they won't otherwise list them. And of course, if they aren't listed, often reporters wouldn't know that they should be asking questions. They wouldn't know that there's something to be asking a question about. In the meantime, the Department of Correction, which has gone almost rogue vis-a-vis oversight, even as the prospect of a federal receiver is looming over it, is also in an open war with the Board of Correction that's supposed to oversee it. They're no longer sharing video footage from inside the jails with the board, as they're legally required to do, and otherwise seem disinterested in cooperating with any form of outside oversight. It's distressing, and more so in a jail system that, despite having more guards than anywhere else in the country and a higher ratio than in any other big city, has had a record number of deaths, a great many slashings and incidents of serious violence, although those were down a little in the last year, but from an absurdly high number. This seems like a system that is trying to run itself and seems badly out of control, sometimes fatally so.
Do I say correctly, Harry, that these individuals, the dead and the living, have not been convicted? They're detained pending resolution. Is that correct, or are there some convicts?
So people serve very short sentences of under 1 year there, but most of the people who are there have not been convicted. Now, the city would argue that they're not holding a lot of people at this point for jaywalking or small crimes, and that anyone who's there is somebody who really needs to be there. Maybe so, but in any case, these are definitively, for the most part, people who have not been convicted of a crime, who've not yet had their day in court, who are staying in what by all accounts are pretty terrible and badly run conditions.
Do the families learn what's happened? Can they find out, once they learn their loved one is gone, what happened?
Yes, and they can talk to the press, and the press can then go to the Department of Correction and ask. But, of course, all that can happen on a lag. Different families will want to handle this differently. And, John, one of the ways the Department of Correction tries to keep its number of deaths down, again, as that's hit record highs, even with a smaller jailed population, is by releasing people on quote-unquote compassionate release so that they don't die at Rikers and consequently aren't counted, even when the fatal injury happened at Rikers.
So what we look at here again is the question of City Hall. We just have less than a minute. Has City Hall weighed in on this peculiar turn of affairs?
City Hall seems to be behind this Department of Correction and the commissioner, Luis Molina, who formerly served in the NYPD with Mayor Eric Adams. They seem to be against the idea of giving control up to the feds or anyone else, and they seem very resistant to oversight and insist that this is the path to improvement and everyone else needs to back off. I don't think politically, with the judges or elsewhere, that's going to hold up, but that is where things stand as of now.
Harry Siegel is a senior editor at The City, an online journal. I highly recommend to follow both these stories, the migrants and corrections. He's also a columnist at the New York Daily News. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, and IT pros with these skills often enjoy abundant opportunity and a great lifestyle. Protect our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. SkillBridge and other VA benefits are available to those who qualify. Learn more at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP. That's mycomputercareer.edu/CWP.